Hello and welcome back to Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. We are a ministry of the Wash and Word, which is a hand car washing business on Highway 11 in Church Hill, Tennessee, in the Powell's Shopping Center. My name is Matthew and I come on this radio station at 8:30 Monday through Friday, and I do verse by verse Bible teaching. It's what I've been called to do. It's what I feel that the body of Christ needs in today's society to be built up and to be strong for not just what is to come, but even what is here now. So we teach verse by verse. We don't want to leave anything out of God's whole counsel. And we believe that it's important to teach and to sit under the teaching of God's entire counsel. And so we do verse by verse Bible teaching. My wife and I run the hand car wash. We encourage you to come by there and let us wash your car. This is how we provide for our family and also for this ministry. We are self-supportive, and you can find out all the information you'd care to know about the business and this ministry if you go to washandword.com. That's the word wash, the letter N, and word, washandword.com. So getting back to our verse-by-verse Bible teaching, we're going to reread, but we'll just pick it up where we left off. If you want to go back and find out where we were, what we preached leading up to today's sermon, you can go to thewashandword.com, and there you can listen to all of our archived messages, or you can go by the Wash and Word, the building there in the parking lot, and we play this message and others on a loop on 107.1 FM, and they play all day long on a loop. So you're welcome to swing by in a parking lot, just park your car, and you can hear this and other messages each and every day that we're open. So getting back to our story, we're going to finish up chapter 1 today of the Gospel of John, and we're looking at Jesus as he's meeting and being introduced to several different people. And today, we'll pick it up where we left off, and we're going to look a little bit at the newly introduced disciple of Nathanael. Now, with this disciple and the others, we see that Jesus, he kind of has a symbiotic relationship with these disciples. And by that I mean there's a part we both kind of play in our relationship with Christ and leading up to the point of meeting Christ. And this same relationship that Jesus had with these disciples is the same that he has with us today, with you and with me. You see, Jesus orchestrates events in time and in space that would allow someone to come to that place where maybe we can be the person that introduces them to our Savior. You know what I mean? Like, you ever have somebody that you introduce to Christ and they have no interest in it, but then maybe down the road a little bit, somebody else, brings them to church or something, and all of a sudden they get saved? Well, what was the difference between you giving them the gospel and somebody else doing it? Well, it's the Holy Spirit working. And each of us are on our own path with Christ, and each of us are on our own path leading to him. And you just never know when you're going to be the linchpin that makes that final connection. So here we see Nathanael being introduced to Jesus, and his first response is one that I bet he wishes he could have taken back. And if you read the part of the scripture that we're on here, we're looking at verses 43 through 51, and this is the part where Nathanael says, "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" And in hindsight, again, I'm sure he wishes he could have taken that back after seeing all the things he saw. But the reason he said that is because Nazareth was really just a small and relatively insignificant town. And in the minds of the Jews back then, their Messiah surely would come from Mount Zion. Their Messiah in their own minds would be riding out of Jerusalem in a chariot of, white and gold and, on a white horse and, or with a huge army riding into Rome and assassinating Caesar and taking over and freeing them from slavery. I mean, anything but coming from a lowly town like Nazareth. And yet this is exactly where Jesus came from. And I believe God did this on purpose to show Jesus's earthly humility and also his humanity. You see, Christ came fully God, but also fully man. And there there's a difference between faith by sight and faith by trust. We must have faith not in what we see, because even in what we see or what we feel or what we experience, that kind of faith, even though it seems like that's the only kind of faith that really makes sense, you know, your eyes and your emotions and your feelings, well, they lie to you. They lie to ourselves. And so by having faith in the things that we see, touch, and feel, you know, we could be having faith in something that's not true. But faith in something we have yet to see, faith in just something that we're told, or something that we just put it into, you know, that's the kind of faith that God is looking for. And if Christ came in all of those ways they thought he would, well, then there would be faith in something that they saw. But the way that he came in such humility, it took true faith to put your faith in your trust in a Savior like this. And all these disciples have yet to see a miracle or even a strong teaching from Jesus. And here they are, fully devoted to this man. And so we are drawn to him. And we're drawn to him not by sight, but by trust, by what we hear in God's word and what we feel in our spirit. So Jesus calls Nathanael a true Israelite, in whom nothing false. Now, that doesn't mean he was sinless. We know that no one is sinless, but it means that he wasn't like a lot of the Jews. And we don't know a lot about Nathanael, but something about him stuck out, and Jesus noticed that. And you know, you probably know this already, but it's important that we're honest with Jesus. You know what I mean? And the reason I say that is because he knows everything that you think, that you do, or that you say anyway. And so being honest with Jesus is just makes sense, because he knows it all anyway. And now you may say, well, yeah, sure, our resurrected and ascended Savior does know all things, but try to remember that at this point in his life, he was human. I mean, yeah, he was God, but he was not fully omniscient when he walked the earth. There were several things that Jesus said and statements that he made that revealed that he was not walking around all-knowing at this time. I'll try to forgive this, the following analogy, but it's kind of like the devil's ability that he has today. And that is that the devil is not omniscient. He doesn't know all things. He's not the antithesis of God. He's not the equal of God and just the opposite. But what the devil does do is he is a long time study of mankind. That is, he's been studying us for a long time. He knows people. He knows how to read people. And the devil can't read your mind right now, but he can read your body language. He can read your emotions, your tendencies. He knows the desires of men, just like we can with our children and people we know real well. We know when our wives are, something's bothering them. We know when our children are not normal or not right, something's bothering them. And the devil could do this today. And I kind of think that's maybe a little bit like how Jesus' earthly ministry was, where he wasn't fully omniscient while he walked here, but he knew people. He knows people, and he still does today. But of course, the glorified Jesus, he knows all things all the time about everything. And so I think this is what Jesus is doing with Nathanael here. Now, it would seem that Jesus, by his response, was using divine power. You know, he's like, I saw you under the fig tree, is what he says. And, you know, we might think that Jesus saw him in a heavenly vision, that there he was, and he was reading Nathanael's mind while he was sitting under the tree. That's simply just not the case. The word used for saw you, as Jesus put it, was literally the word same as if he saw him with his eyes. Jesus knew this man by sight, and the reaction that he probably witnessed to Philip as he began to tell him about Jesus, he could probably see Nathanael throw up his hands, maybe in like disgust or you know, frustration, and he probably saw some back and forth, and you know, so Jesus could witness this with his own eyes, and he uses this statement here that we see for the first time in the Gospel of John, but we'll see it several times throughout the Gospel, and that is the statement of where he says, "I tell you the truth," and some. Translations, he'll say, Jesus will say, "Truly, truly," or "Verily, verily." Here he says, you know, "I tell you the truth," or "Verily, verily, I say to you that you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Now, this, of course, is a reference to Jacob's ladder. It's the vision that Jacob had back in the Old Testament, a dream that he had. But I think what we need to get out of this is that Jesus wants all of his disciples to know that he is the only bridge from God to man and man to God. And if we had to break this relatively, I don't know, insignificant teaching, really I haven't said anything that profound today, but if I had to break it down to this, you know, this is the one thing I'd want you to get. That Jesus is the only way to God, the only bridge for us as man to get to God, and the same bridge from God to man. Jesus put it this way in John 14:6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It doesn't get any clearer than that. So we got to remember that Jesus called ordinary men. And I tell you what, that takes a load off, does for me anyway, because I'm not very extraordinary. And if God can use someone like me, well, certainly he can use someone like you. We also see in the disciples and how he called them that he didn't treat everyone the same way. You know, no two people are treated the same way in the eyes of God. That's why we say to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Each person, each disciple has a different relationship with Jesus. And if Jesus, being human and earthly, knows how to orchestrate a person's life to the greatest benefit and joy, how much more would a glorified and resurrected divine Savior do that today? So we have to trust Jesus. We have to realize that we cannot bring ourselves to God. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves right before God. Our works are useless. I heard a funny story, and it said that a young man asked an old rich man one day how he made his money. And the old guy, he kind of fingered his beard, and he said, "Well, son, it was 1932, the depth of the Great Depression. I was down to my last nickel, and I invested that nickel in an apple. And I spent the entire day polishing that apple, and at the end of the day, I sold the apple for 10 cents. The next morning, I invested those 10 cents in two apples, and I spent the entire day polishing them, and sold them at 5 p.m. for 20 cents. And I continued this system for a month, and by the end of which, I'd accumulated a fortune of $3.50. Then, my wife's father died and left us $10 million. Now, you see, all of our efforts to get to God, it's just apples, you know? And then my Savior died and left me a fortune. That's what we got to remember. Why God would call any of us is truly one of the great mysteries of life. Why he loves us is truly an enigma. But I guarantee you, he has called you. He is calling you right now. And I ask you, I plead with you to make the first step. If you don't know him, put your faith in Christ today. And if you do know him, put your faith in the Holy Spirit inside of you and step out and do something that you normally wouldn't do for him. Guarantee you will always be happy with the results. Every one of these men who followed Jesus, I know, did not live to regret it. So daily taking up your cross will bring its share of splinters. But hey, a little pain never hurt anyone, right? Well, God bless you. That's it for this teaching. We'll be back again tomorrow at 8:30 on this radio station. We'll pick up right where we left off, and we'll be starting in Chapter 2. Or you can come by the Wash and Word, the Palace Shopping Center on Highway 11 in Church Hill. You can hear this message and others while you get your car washed on 107.1 FM. Thank you. God bless you and have a great day.